Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Galvanised or gutted? Will the Eagles win this weekend? And Andrew Gaff, 8 weeks, did the AFL get it right?
That was out of bounds! I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is...
The stadium holds its breath. It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Quarters, some news I think which possibly puts the events of this week in a little bit of perspective for everyone. It's been a highly emotive week on the AFL front. Jared Lyle, the incredibly brave and incredibly talented Australian golfer, lost his battle with blood cancer after it took three goes at him, and I think the golf world will be in mourning. He's a very popular figure, and football is a lot of things, but it is rarely life and death.
Well, sport is a lot of things to a lot of people, and you know, we all knew this was coming last week when he announced he was going into palliative care. And I think it's not just the shockwaves felt in Australia, but it's internationally. You see in events over in the US last week, people were wearing yellow ribbons, and so has done it. Has just a very brave fight, as you said, three efforts to beat it. And you know, it's a horrible disease, and our hearts go out to his family. And next time we hit a golf ball, we should all just say, close our eyes for 10 seconds and think of Jared.
And next time we get wound up in a controversial football incident, also just remind yourself that you know, they're playing footy, they're not curing cancer.
Exactly. And I think we've forgotten that at times this week, I think.
Exactly. So let's get on to the incident of the week. Of course, since we last spoke to you, Andrew Gaff has been to the tribunal. He's received an 8-week suspension. Your thoughts?
Look, I said I thought 6 or 7 would do, but I'll take 8. I think it takes him out of the equation for this year. The AFL did not want to see Andrew Gaff playing again this year. It fits the crime, so I'm comfortable with 8. I think the families have moved on. I think the players will move on, and I think I think Andrew's going to need a bit of help, Andrew Gaff.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it would be great to see. I think the players shook hands after the final siren last week. I'd like to see the clubs do the same.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Derby rivalry has become an incredibly petty, childish rivalry. I think it started out that way out of a lack of respect from West Coast for Fremantle. I think Fremantle hit back in a dysfunctional way with the Demolition Derby.
And also probably the handling of the Glendenning Allen Medal this year.
And I think that it's just become this back and forth, petty, and I think while I suspect the players move on very quickly from these things.
Always do.
And they always move on more quickly than the administrators do, but I think some of it seeps through to the players. And so when they go out there to play a derby, they're a little bit more jacked up than they should be. And I think if you contrast the number of tribunal issues that come out of the showdown compared to the ones that come out of the Western Derby, it tells a clear tale of two clubs where the dislike for each other has reached a point where it's counterproductive.
Do you reckon it's at the lowest ebb right now, or have we been here before?
No, we've been here before. And my fear is we'll get here again.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's my fear. I mean, you know, so many people this week have said that if you voted for a person least likely to do this, it would be Andrew Gaff.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that this has happened, and the fact that it's happened in a Western Derby, it's time for people to sit down and sort of ask the question. And the fact that it's happened to an 18-year-old kid,
yeah,
who's not known as a pest or a you know, an instigator or an agitator.
He's played 17 games.
That's right. So I just think that it is time for everybody to draw breath and have a good look and ask yourselves, where is this headed? And is it headed to anywhere good? I think Andrew Gaff is going to pay a very long and lengthy price.
Already has. And let's not forget, these games, the majority of them are in a final series.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be at least 3 or 4 of them in a final series. So that's significant. It's a pretty big punishment.
Absolutely. And let's also not forget that there is a very real chance that Andrew Brayshaw will suffer permanent damage.
Mm-hmm.
as well. Now, it's not permanent brain damage. It's not a permanent limp. But the feeling is that the teeth that they've replaced will die in about a month's time. And then there is some doubt as to whether they'll be able to put the bases down to have implant teeth put in. Now, if those two things occur, we'll be looking at a dental plate that he'll be with for the rest of his life, and that'll be a reminder to him of this incident every time he chews. These are significant things. We shouldn't play them down, and it's time for the clubs to grow up and get over this rubbish, because I don't think it reflects well on us. I fondly remember the great derbies, the 2003 Round 21 Derby, you know, when they played for a home final, the 2006 Derby when Paul Hazelby kicked for the win 40 seconds from the end, the 2011 Derby when Hayden Ballantyne hit the post and West Coast won. Those are the great derbies.
And there'll be more great derbies.
And they're the ones we should remember.
Remembering greats, well, maybe not a great, but a very loyal servant, good footballer. At least Spur announced his retirement this week. Knee injury, bone on bone, so unable to run in anything but straight lines. And 120 games, not an insignificant number. You play over 100 AFL games. You play any AFL games, in my opinion. You're a member of the elite. But 100 games, nothing to be sneezed at, Duff.
No, absolutely. Very solid member of those Fremantle teams from 2012 to 2017.
Grand final.
17, played in the grand final.
Played on some pretty good forwards too.
He was the go-to player for the lockdown on, so he would Cyril, play on a Chad Wingard, a Cyril Rioli, yeah. So,
and didn't disgrace himself either in those roles.
Well, you probably get disgraced a couple of times when you play
on those. Interesting to hear his comments. I think he was talking about the players like Cyril. He said you can keep him quiet for 3 3/4 quarters, and they can kick 4 in 5 minutes, and you look silly. You know, they're pretty hard to play on those guys.
He told a great story at his press conference yesterday about kicking his first goal in AFL footy against Melbourne. It was late in the 2013 season, and he kicked it from inside the square. He was pretty happy with himself. He did a bit of over-celebrating, he called it. Got a monumental spray from Ross Lyon in the rooms afterwards for over-celebrating. Later that year, he kicked a really significant goal in the final win against Geelong down at Geelong, from outside 50. And he said, I ran away like I'd done something wrong because I still remembered the spray I got for the Melbourne game.
That's funny.
All right, Quarters, let's get on. One other thing we should be mentioning, of course, Tony Ilongo, the West Coast rookie-listed player, has been it's been established that he's on assault charges from an incident in Darwin the night before the rookie draft. So West Coast probably not aware of the incident when they drafted him. It's not yet clear how long they've been aware of the incident since then. So that is probably something that will come to light in the coming hours and days.
Currently based in Darwin?
Tony Longo?
This was a Darwin incident.
This was a Darwin incident, yes. So he's been down here. Yep. He's been,
and we should point that out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're pretty sure the Eagles were not aware of the incident when he was drafted. It is yet to be established how long they have been aware of the incident. So, this week's round, what have we got?
Friday night, Essendon v St Kilda. Etihad Stadium, 5-2 at Etihad Essendon. Probably a bit stiff last week. Could have easily beaten Hawthorn, but the siren sounded. They were behind.
Glenn Quartermain danced around his lounge room.
There's a little bit of dancing done here. Against St Kilda, that was just a 63-point turnaround in the loss to St Kilda. So I think they kicked the first. They were 28-0, and it was a horrendous loss for them. I'm not sure where they're going. Doesn't help when one of your key forwards kicks 1-3. Look, there's still some form there. I think Seb Ross got plenty of the footy last week, but I can't make a case for them. Essendon, there's the slightest sliver of hope that they can make the finals. They've got St Kilda, Richmond and Port away for the final three games. Have to win them all and rely on other teams to lose. So I reckon that slither, it's an old man with a roll-your-own in his mouth at the end of a train tunnel, mate. That's the light. And it's a strong wind blowing it out.
So, and you've got to keep sucking on it to keep the light going too.
Look, any chance of them winning, you'll have to have big games from Ross. Billings will have to kick straight and Carlisle will have to play a pretty significant role. But I think Essendon will win this 4 or 5 goals.
Okay, yeah, me too. I think the problem for someone like, you mentioned Seb Ross getting a lot of the ball last week. The problem with Seb Ross, he's not a great ball user.
Yep.
And sometimes in modern footy, those guys can be a bit of a mirage on the landscape, can't they? They win the ball. They are given time and space by the opposition because they know they're a chance to give the ball back to you.
Yep.
And that is an issue for St Kilda. They need to find players who can get up the ground and deliver the ball to their forwards a lot better. I think probably their most disappointing loss of the year.
Been a disappointing year, hasn't it?
Extremely disappointing.
If you're a St Kilda fan, it's hard to sort of say, what do we get out of this year? I'm not sure what they've got out of this year.
Not much.
No.
Probably a higher draft pick than they thought they'd get at the start of the year. I'm with you. I'm on the Bombers.
On to Saturday. And is this the greatest rivalry of the modern day? Or am I over? I mean, probably we spoke earlier in the week about the two showdowns this year, arguably being the best two games of the year. It's probably the great rivalry. But Hawthorn Geelong, it doesn't really matter. I think there were a couple of blowouts last year when Hawthorn was struggling, but it's just, you know, it's, I think it's five games since 2013 have been in single figures. So that's, they love the close game. You know, one team can get 28 points, 30 points up, and you know the other's going to reel them in. You're always left with the pretty tight sphincter when you're watching these games, stuff I can tell you. two absolute quality midfields.
As long as there's trousers over that sphincter quarters, I'm getting
always.
I'm getting a very disturbing mental picture in my mind at the moment.
I found it really hard taking the support out of the game. I found it really hard to actually put a circle around one of those teams. But ultimately, I went from Hawthorn's recent record at the G compared to Geelong's. I think we're six. Hawthorn, we are 6 from 8. Geelong 2 from 6. So I'm just not sure. Look, they didn't do a lot wrong last week against Richmond. It was a kick in it. They run Richmond a lot closer than a lot of teams have at the G. So you can easily make a case for them. But I'm going to flip the coin and it's going to land on the Hawks.
Of course it would. I'm going to go the other way.
Tipped against the Hawks last week.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Geelong. I did like their effort against Richmond last week. But I'm with you. I think this is very much a toss of the coin job. And Geelong, really, it's a must-win for them, isn't it? They're outside of the eight at the moment.
Yep.
And if they're going to have a 50-50 chance of playing finals, this is a game they have to
win. One of the keys, I think, for Hawthorn is Stratton's form. He's really found some form, and I think that is significant given Geelong. Geelong's a good defensive side, but obviously Hawkins, if you take last week out of the equation, has been in pretty good form, so Menzel as well. So they obviously hold the key, and I think Stratton's going to be significant this week.
Close one.
A close one, and this next one won't be. Gold Coast v Richmond at Metricon Stadium. Gold Coast playing just horrific performance last week, and playing against the greatest pressure team in the comp at the moment.
The Tom Lynch Cup.
It's fair to say Steve May is going to have his hands full this week, the Gold Coast captain. Probably play on Riewoldt, who's in career best form. I think Richmond will win this by plenty. It's just a matter of how much their percentage goes up this week.
Yeah, and it's also a matter of what Gold Coast gets out of the game, isn't it? You can't afford to have too many games where you're 10 goals to one down, which they were against Melbourne last week.
Yeah, terrible last quarter team too. So if we know it's going to be
against a very good last quarter team.
Exactly. But this should be Richmond's first interstate win this year too. I think they've had 4 losses on the road. So.
Well, that would be important if they were likely to have to go interstate in the finals.
That's right. Yes. So,
but don't get me started.
I won't. So we don't need to talk about that game too much. Port Adelaide v West Coast. Adelaide Oval. I was wavering towards picking West Coast here. I think we're both in agreement that the events of the last week will really galvanise the Eagles.
Yeah, I think people that think... So I think in the longer term, Gaff, Nat Nui, and a cloud over Kennedy probably sinks West Coast for the flag.
I agree.
But in the shorter term, strong football clubs gather together. The world is against us. You know, they'll even extrapolate a little bit on the events of the week and exaggerate them a little bit to provide the impression that the world is against them. And I suspect they will get inside the bunker and they'll come out with a very strong effort. But they play a team that feels it was robbed of a showdown.
Doesn't feel it was robbed of a showdown. The team was robbed of a showdown. Obviously, Josh Jenkins hitting the post and admitting afterwards it hit the post. Everyone in the ground knew it except the review.
And the goal umpire.
Team and the goal umpire. But look, 6 from 8 at Adelaide Oval, the Eagles, they like playing there.
Mm.
And yes, Gaff's out, arguably their best midfielder this year. There's still a lot of quality in that midfield, though. still a lot of quality, still a lot of potency in attack. I think Liam Ryan's form was significant last week. He needed to reproduce his form from earlier in the year and did so. Rioli, there's still plenty to like about the Eagles. I got very close to picking him, but in the end, I'm going to go with Port. But they should have won last week. They can't afford to lose this, so I think they'll win.
Yeah, I'm going for Port. I agree with you. West Coast do play the ground well. Liam Ryan's game last week, he flies for a lot of marks. There was one absolutely brilliant goal square crumb from Liam Ryan.
He gathered it really well too. Yeah,
and that, like, if you were, I reckon if you were Adam Simpson, you'd be showing him that and saying, okay, yep, you might take mark of the year at some point, but you'll kick 30 goals.
Yeah,
doing this every year. It was just a brilliant read off the hands, clean gather, easy goal. That's his role at West Coast. I think West Coast will give a very good account of themselves. I think Port Adelaide will win.
They won't. I think, obviously, Ryder v. Lysett Vardy is important. They are a good defensive team, averaging 71 points against Port. Mm. So it'll be hard to score against. So that's why I'm picking Port, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it go the other way. Collingwood v. Brisbane at Etihad Stadium, another injury shock for Collingwood. Like, it started with a tremor, to use recent events. Yes, exactly. It is now an earthquake there in terms of injuries, because Jamie Elliott now, hamstring surgery, season over. Here's another one. Now, he hasn't been playing, but he's a good player. He slots into that side fully fit.
So the one thing that you will say about the loss of Elliott is they haven't had him.
Yep.
So he's a loss out of their squad.
Yep.
And he's a player that they probably would have been thinking at some point, maybe we can get him back, and now they don't. But they haven't had him all year, so they continue to go with what they've been going with. Treloar is still holding out some hope that he will get back. I wouldn't be holding my breath.
Yeah. The horse might have bolted by the time he gets back. Darcy Moore was a really big out for them last week, because they probably beat Sydney otherwise. I'm going to tip Collingwood, but only because it's in Melbourne. It's probably a bit harsh on Brisbane, because they've been really good. Lost their last three, but two of them have been by under a kick. Mm. And if Cameron Rayner kicked straight last week, they win that one. Yeah. So they won't, you know, they have been one of the stories of the season, Brisbane, for me.
Yep.
In terms of a view forward to what we can expect next year onwards. I'm going to pick Collingwood, but it'll be an almighty battle.
Yeah, I think Collingwood wins this one. I mean, for Collingwood to stay in the race for the top four, and not also to make sure they make the eight, because they're getting very skinny on the ground now.
Yep.
You know, they come to Perth in round 23 to play Fremantle. Well, you think they win that. But if Fife comes back, if Sandilands comes back, if there's some players being farewelled on that game and the Dockers lift, that suddenly becomes a very tough game.
Yep.
So they need to win a game like this, get their 13th win, keep themselves in the running for top four, and just book their place in September for the eight. Because I think if you're Collingwood, with all the issues they've had,
it's a great effort to make the finals.
Absolutely.
And you get there, you've sort of got an out.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. They won't say that, but you have that. From my view, they've got an out with their injury list. So they get to the finals, you know, anything can happen.
And they'll feel like they can push onwards and upwards next year.
Exactly. Well, you said skinny on the ground, and if they're skinny on the ground, then GWS is like a stick insect, because they have the latest injury, well, Deledio's calf. I was really disappointed with that one. If GWS was to challenge for the flag this year, I really wanted Brett Deledio to get a premiership medal.
Mm.
I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen now. He's just had so many calf issues, and his latest one will probably keep him out for the remainder, I think.
So what are they saying? How severe is it? Is it a nick or is it?
Well, if you look at his history and it's a calf, well, how confident would you be that he's going to come back for a sustained period?
I mean, and play in finals.
Exactly. So, and what, is it worth the risk? That's the issue. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope he gets back, plays finals, gets a premiership medal around his neck, but I'm just not sure. Toby Green, 4-week hamstring injury. As we've always said, we're probably their most significant player. And that's saying something when you look at Kelly, Coniglio, Ward, Jeremy Cameron. There's some guns in that team. But he is so important to them. And 4 weeks out for him hurts. And also, I think Dawson Simpson is not an underrated out either. Their ruckman, he's out with an ankle. He won't play again this year. And what that's going to mean to him is Rory Lobb will have to be used more in the ruck and less as that focal point into attack the others can feed off. So I think that's a pretty structural disadvantage.
It's probably not as much now that Cameron's back. So Himmelberg, Cameron still gives you the two targets to aim at.
And have done beautifully too since they paired up together again. So
yeah.
I'll be going to pick GWS, don't get me wrong. I think they'll beat Adelaide up there in Sydney.
What does it mean for Adelaide?
They're clinging on.
It's in Canberra, isn't it?
Oh, Canberra, sorry. Yes, Canberra. It is in Canberra. Does it mean for Adelaide? They're clinging on.
They're like Essendon, aren't they, really?
I think they're marginally ahead. But they are like Essendon. So can they make it? They've had a tipping point year two with injuries and other off-field issues. It's been not a good year for Adelaide. But they're fighting on. They've shown a bit of spirit the last 3 or 4 weeks. So they'll give a yelp. But I think too many outs for them as well. But I think GWS, where they're at the moment, will win this game.
GWS for me, I reckon it'll be pretty close. I think Adelaide will give a very good account of themselves coming late. GWS, this is a key game, I think, for them making the top four.
Yeah. And they make the top four. I mean, but I'm worried about their outs now. I really am. Sunday, North Melbourne versus Western Bulldogs. You have to say a danger game for North. They've been a bit up and down, but given the Western Bulldogs' form last week, and the Western Bulldogs have no chance, obviously, of appearing in the finals, but North is a significant chance of appearing. I think they've got too much to lose.
Is this the game from memory that the Western Bulldogs squandered in the last minute going back a few weeks?
Yep.
So that would have reminded North Melbourne that turn up with your absolute best because this mob is still dangerous.
Well, I think they have to. Well, they can't lose. And they've got the last three, Dogs, Crows in Adelaide and St Kilda. They're all gettable. The Crows is hard but in Adelaide, but I think they're gettable games, and this is just they have to win and will.
Yep, I'm tipping North. Too much at stake.
Melbourne v Sydney, MCG. Now, a whisper this morning, well, not a whisper, Gawn turns up late, just walks laps. I don't know whether they're playing ducks and drakes. I'm not sure, but that's a bad sign for them. Sydney, we talk about tipping points. They've had theirs. They managed to manufacture one last week. What are the upside for them? I think Aliralee's form's an upside. I think Franklin's ability to get out there is an upside, and his form's been good. Against Melbourne, we know their form. Number one contested team. A lot of depth. Will play finals. But, you know, as Melbourne does so beautifully, there's still that possibility that they won't.
Oh, don't even raise it. The Melbourne supporters.
They're not talking. Melbourne supporters refuse to acknowledge they're playing finals.
Yeah, I know.
Don't tell me.
There's a couple in the office. I know what they're like. It's pessimism born of a decade of failure.
Yeah.
I'm going to tip Melbourne. The Gawn thing, did he get on the track late or did he arrive at the club late?
I can't answer that.
Because get on the track late's not significant. Like, they manage their workloads. They'll often load them up and then deload them. Obviously, Max Gawn has gotten through an enormous workload this year. So getting on the track late would not be significant for me. Arriving at the club late would mean probably being off getting a scan or something. That would be significant.
So if he doesn't play, you've got to give Sydney a good chance of this. But if he's out there, I think Melbourne wins this.
Agreed.
Final game, Freo v Carlton at Optus Stadium. Won 5 of their past 6 against the Blues. It's at home. I'm going to pick Freo for that reason alone. I'm going to pick obviously a significantly better side at home this year. Carlton, take the eternal optimist to take something out of this year. But I think Mackay's form recently for me has been something glass half full.
Yep.
I think obviously Cripps has formed throughout the year. But a 100-point loss last week, and now they're on the road up to Stadium.
They'd probably be glad to get out of Melbourne. They're probably at a stage now where they're thinking, let's go away, be together. I mean, their win was at the Gold Coast. So,
They strike me as one of those teams that are just, they've had enough. They just want the season to end.
You reckon Fremantle haven't?
No, I think Fremantle have, but this is a chance for a win and a good win.
Yeah.
And I think for Freo, if you enter this game, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to Carlton, but this is a game where McCarthy and Taberner could find some real form and get a bag for me, and that would give them confidence. So that's, I don't want to sound disrespectful. I guess it is a bit disrespectful, but this is an opportunity for Freo to have a good confidence-boosting, morale-boosting win before the season ends.
Yeah, Fremantle needs to take care that they dot their I's and cross their T's in this one. There's no Stephen Hill. He comes out.
Big out. But it's not been a year where they wouldn't, though, I reckon.
No Andrew Brayshaw.
Yeah.
And look, the one thing that was glossed over because of the incident in the Western Derby last week was how bad Fremantle were.
Mm.
They were headed towards a 70 or 80 point loss against West Coast.
Might have been even more upwards of that, you know.
The incident derailed both teams really a little bit. The game was sort of played out where it was only half about the footy. It was about what the hell happened and what do we do about it.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty much the last quarter and a half of that game. And I think that Fremantle's ball use is now at a point where if they don't fix it, the rebuild fails.
Well, what do they do about it?
Well, one, you've got to make sure that any player you draft is a ball user. They have to adopt a can't kick, can't play mentality with their draftees. And two, they have to value it. You know, I watch Fremantle train, and I think it's different to the way West Coast trains. West Coast, even when they're doing pretty rudimentary skill exercises, there's a real focus on the execution of the skill. When I watch Fremantle doing similar exercises, they're more inclined to tolerate failure. And I don't think that can be accepted anymore. I think clubs get good at the things they value, and I think it is time for Fremantle to play
skill over skill over strategy.
Well, I think Ross is very big on structures. He's very big on structures, at the ball, behind the ball, ahead of the ball. He's very big on defensive mechanisms. And even the Lee Spur story cuts to that, doesn't it? You know, celebrates a goal, gets told off by the coach. But Ross would have celebrated Lee Spur's ability to play his role in a defensive structure, you know, mightily. And that's all fine. But at the end of the day, the ability to hit a target is your ability to bring a Cameron McCarthy, a Matt Taberner, a Brandon Matera, a Michael Walters, a Hayden Ballantyne into the game. And the fact that all their forwards struggle is not just a product of the form of those forwards. It is also a product of the delivery they get from their midfield. And I don't think they climb much further than where they are until that is significantly improved.
Still, as far as wins on the board, how many wins now for Freo?
So there's seven. This would be eight.
Well, which we said, I think we said pre-season we'd take that.
And probably the other thing you would say is that, as Lee Spur pointed out yesterday, three or four of their wins last year were last gasp wins that could have easily gone the other way. So they could have easily walked away with a four-win season last year. This time, most of their wins have been
reasonably convincing.
Yeah. Wins, and obviously they had a narrow loss in the Derby earlier on. But the flip side of that is there are still these stinking performances and bad losses that are bobbing up. You know, the one against Brisbane, the one against Hawthorn, and they were headed for that against...
I guess that'll happen with young teams. I'm not giving them an out, but that does happen.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But also they rise and fall a lot with their senior players, and you would like to see them in a game where Fife won't play, where Sandilands won't play, where Hill won't play.
What's the status on Sandilands?
Good question. So I think the two big decisions for Fremantle's list management team are: does Sandilands go on or retire? Does Ballantyne go on?
Well, I'm going to put it on the line. I'm going to say Ballantyne will play on. I'm not sure about Sandilands.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think Ross Lyon would probably like him because I suspect their win-loss next year will look better with Aaron Sandilands in the team. Their long-term development may look better with Sean Darcy having to play 20 games.
Yeah.
Fremantle wins, we think.
Yeah, I think they win comfortably.
But it is time to tidy up those skills. All right, well, thank you very much for joining us today. A somber day with the death of Jared Lyle. Hopefully you tip well this week. Hopefully your team plays well this week. Hopefully we're not talking about a tumultuous tribunal hearing this
time next
week.
Let's have a happy Tuesday next week.
That's right. Thank you for
Let's bring Woodstock back, Duff. Woodstock. We want happiness, sunshine, flowers.
You probably drink a six-pack of Woodstock every weekend.
Not a bourbon man, mate.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We were brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Tuesday for a full wrap of the round, and hopefully your team does well this weekend.